Well, there's been swift and fierce criticism from around the world to Donald Trump's call yesterday for a total ban on Muslims entering the United States, excluding U.S. citizens. This, of course, following the San Bernardino shootings, the terrorist attack in California. From Pakistan to Indonesia, Muslims have denounced the call, with some describing Trump as a bigot and even fascist. It's drawn outrage at home from his Republican rivals and from Republican House Speaker Paul Ryan.
Normally, I do not comment on what's going on in the presidential election. I will take an exception today. This is not conservatism. What was proposed yesterday is not what this party stands for, and more importantly, it's not what this country stands for.
That's the U.S. House Speaker Paul Ryan rebuking the presidential candidate and his Republican colleague Donald Trump. Meanwhile, speaking overnight, White House spokesman John Ernest says Republican presidential candidates should withdraw their support from Donald Trump.
I know that each of the Republican candidates has already taken an oath pledging to support Donald Trump for President of the United States if he wins the nomination. But the fact is, the first thing a president does when he or she takes the oath of office is to swear an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. And the fact is that what Donald Trump said yesterday disqualifies him from serving as president.
Josh Earnest, the White House spokesperson. The call for a Muslim ban is just one of the many provocative remarks from Donald Trump's controversial presidential campaign, I'm sure you'll know. So why is he still front runner of the presidential race, or the Republican nomination race at least? Alan Abramowitz is one of America's leading experts on national politics, professor of political science at Emory University in Atlanta. He's with us now. Professor, welcome to Breakfast.
Thank you. Glad to be with you.
So what will this do for Donald Trump's prospects of securing the Republican nomination?
Well, my hunch is that it's not going to affect his support very much, because this is the latest in a long string of outrageous comments that he's made. And each time he makes one of these outrageous comments, there are suggestions that he's gone too far. But it turns out in each case that he has not gone too far, at least for his supporters. And so we'll have to see. The drumbeat of criticism is even stronger this time, but I'm skeptical that it's going to actually significantly undermine his support.
What does this say about the political climate of the United States at the moment?
Well, I think what it says is that there is a constituency out there that is receptive to Donald Trump's message. Now, it's a minority of the American public. It's even a minority of Republicans. But it's a large enough group that in a very divided field of candidates, it's propelled him to the front-runner status. He's held that position now for several months. My suspicion is that this alone is not going to take him down.
The betting markets, for what they're worth, paint a very different picture than the opinion polls. People, in terms of investing their money in predicting the outcome, think that Donald Trump will not get the nomination. In fact, it'll go to Marco Rubio. But the opinion polls say it will go to Trump, or at least that he has the largest amount of support, minority
right,
though it may be, relative to the other frontrunners.
Right.
What's your view?
My view is that the odds are still against him being the nominee, but I think he has to be taken seriously as a contender, given the level of support that he has, and again, given the divided field. And it's not just that he's leading in the national polls. He's also leading in just about every state poll, including the polls in almost all or almost all of the early contests. I think he has to be seen as a serious contender. Even if he does not win the nomination, he's likely to play a major role in the rest of the campaign and have a big influence on the nomination process and on the Republican convention.
If he does win the nomination, what will that mean for Republican prospects for winning the White House?
I think Trump, as a general election candidate, would have a very serious problem. He would be very unlikely to be elected. He's alienated a lot of voters already outside of the hardcore Republican base, particularly Latinos, which are the fastest growing segment of the American electorate. I think you would see an overwhelming vote against him there. So it's very hard for me to see how Donald Trump could be elected president. But among Republican voters right now, he's actually seen as the most electable Republican candidate, which is quite remarkable.
He says of Mexicans that that they're crossing the border illegally to rape and perform terrorism. He has a policy of deporting 11 million illegal immigrants. How is this shaping the campaign?
Well, he's viewed very, very negatively, of course, by Latino voters. And a Republican who can't make some inroads among Latino voters and do better than the last couple of Republican candidates did there is going to have a very, very difficult time. I think you have to distinguish what Trump says, from a political standpoint, from looking at it as a serious policy proposal. These are not serious policy proposals. Nobody thinks that these things could happen. These are purely political. These are aimed at drumming up support, at revving up his constituency within the Republican Party, and he's very good at doing that. When it comes to running a campaign in a larger general electorate, I think these very same positions are going to prove to be very damaging.
But what about his policies like no income tax for very low-income Americans? And he says the ultra-wealthy don't pay enough tax. This kind of language would appeal to working-class, white Democrats, kind of Reagan Democrats.
Well, except there aren't any Reagan Democrats anymore. What you have now is he's garnering support from white working-class Republicans. Those voters who perhaps at one time were Democrats, but they've already moved over into the Republican Party, and that's where he's getting his support. He does much better among Republican voters who are not college-educated than he does among college-educated Republican voters. So that is where he's getting his support, but he has very little support among Democrats. Among Democrats, he's viewed very, very unfavorably. So I think his chances of making inroads among Democrats, among any of these traditionally Democratic voting groups, would be very, very limited.
And the Republican establishment has had this sort of view that, well, let's just try and not think about him and he might go away. That's clearly not working. And is this why we're seeing Republicans taking him on directly, his fellow candidates for the Republican nomination? They've been loath to do that in the recent past.
Yes. I think that they realize now that that he is a serious contender. They're going to have to confront him directly, but they're doing it in different ways. And a couple of the other candidates who are also kind of going after the kind of disgruntled anti-establishment Republican vote are not confronting him as directly. And so, particularly Ted Cruz. It's someone who I think is his whole strategy at this point is to try to position himself to inherit Trump supporters when he falls by the wayside. And so if you listen to what they're saying, you find that that Cruz is actually being very cautious in criticizing Trump. He would like to attract Trump supporters to him at some point.
You specialize in looking at polls and election forecasting, and I remember at the last election, the Nate Silver effect, the aggregating of polls could forecast with extraordinary precision every outcome across all the states and achieved almost perfect success. This is the technology we have now to analyze very large numbers of polls to strip out any so-called noise, the distorting effects of a single poll. Yet we go across the Atlantic to the UK election, and those same methods got the election completely wrong.
Right.
The Conservatives won when it was predicted that Labour would. What's happening here?
I think there are problems with polling, not just in the UK, but almost everywhere. And I think there are serious issues with polling in the United States as well. And some of these involve declining response rates, the increasing proportion of voters who are cell phone only households, the difficulty of reaching these voters, you know, just the difficulty of doing a traditional live interview or poll. As a result, we're seeing a growing number of polls based on the internet, based on automated telephone calls, and you know, there are real questions about the accuracy of these polls. So, you know, it remains to be seen how that will play out in 2016 in the United States, and whether the polls will prove to be accurate, even when averaged. In the primaries, though, I think it's especially difficult, and it always is, because the voters are more volatile in the primaries. You can get big swings in voter preferences in a fairly short period of time, which you generally do not see in a general election campaign.
Thank you, Professor, for your time.
It's very hard to make predictions.
It certainly is, but thank you, Alan Abramowitz, Professor of Political Science at Emory University in Atlanta.